Here is a detailed summary of how I spent my time in 2020.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 196. As always, I want to start by saying thank you for tuning in wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Really do appreciate your time and your attention today. I know how valuable your time is, so thank you very much for tuning in. And today I'm deconstructing how I spent my time in 2020. And if you want to read more or see some of the screenshots from my time tracking app that I'm referring to throughout this podcast, you can find that at paulminers.com/196. And last year, I published a summary of how I spent my time in 2019. And at the time, it was a fascinating exercise, and I received positive feedback on the analysis. And I think understanding how your time is being spent is one of the best things you can do to make better choices and plan more effectively in the future. So I thought it would be worth repeating this exercise again this year, maybe starting a bit of a tradition out of this. And for those that are interested in the detail, this analysis that I've done, it covers the period from January 1st to December 7th, which is kind of when I started preparing this post and episode. So although the year isn't fully over, it does give me a pretty good idea of how I've spent my time this year. And so I want to start by talking about my methodology a little bit, how I actually track my time. As some of you may know, I'm a big fan of time blocking, you know, putting things on my calendar, the tasks that I'm working on. I find that by planning out when I'm going to work on specific tasks, it creates a nice time log. And at the end of the week, I can go back and I can see how I spent my time. So that's one tool that I have. So time blocking is good, but I really want to understand the big picture. As well as get a detailed breakdown, I want to see big picture view, like what were the types of work I was doing. And so for that, I use Timing, which is an app for the Mac. And I get timing through SetApp. SetApp is a great subscription service that I have signed up to. And Timing is one of the apps that you can get access to when you subscribe to SetApp. And so it's a time tracking tool I've been using for years now. I want to say probably about 4 or 5 years. It watches the apps, the websites, and the files that you use in the background, and you can then categorize these different tools or websites into different projects. And so I have a summary on my blog post. If you do want to have a look, I've got a screenshot from the app. Some observations from the year. So my productivity score, this is sort of a metric of just how productive you were. Different categories or projects can be given a different productivity weighting. You know, certain types of work can be classified as very productive, others not so. My productivity score calculated based on how productive I was for different types of work as about 86%. So for example, things like client work, that's what I classify as being very productive. Whereas, you know, watching things like Netflix on my computer or playing games, that's not very productive. So 86% is not bad. It's actually increased 2% since last year. So it's good to see. But to be honest, this metric is really not something I pay attention to. I think it's a pretty arbitrary way of measuring your productivity. I think it's more important to look at what you've actually achieved. Next, the analysis shows my most active days. So for me, Mondays and Fridays tend to be shorter, quieter days for me. When I plan my time, I don't usually have much client work on a Monday because it's still Sunday in the States where most of my clients are. And also Friday, I tend to finish a bit earlier if I can. So those tend to be shorter days. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all pretty even, actually. So the majority of my work happens in the middle portion of the week there. It's good to see that my productivity is actually, yeah, nice and consistent throughout the week. The productivity score ranges from about 83 to 88%. So I'm pretty consistent, which is nice to see. And my most active time of day, it's interesting to see that I'm more active in the morning. It makes sense to me because I do a lot of client work in the morning. I have calls often earlier to align with the time zones of the people I'm working with. And often afternoons are spent doing less productive work, more admin, that type of thing, which is less important. And so when planning my time, I like to work on a high energy tasks in the morning when I find I am focused and alert. And so, that, you know, things like client work, for example. So next in timing, I look at hours worked per month. And again, you can check out the screenshot of the graphs that I'm talking about here. Overall, I worked an average of about 156 hours per month. This was up slightly from last year. I would average about 153 hours per month. So a three-hour increase over the course of a month. So pretty consistent, really, compared to last year. So that's about 37 to 38 hours per week on average. And a big priority of mine is to maintain a healthy work-life balance. I'm always conscious of going beyond that threshold where the additional hours you put in aren't as valuable as you start to kind of burn out and fatigue. I like to maintain what I call fairly normal working hours. You know, what would a full-time worker do? About 40 hours per week. And I want to optimize what I can do within that time. It's interesting as well comparing this to last year. In 2019, I worked less when we were traveling the US and Canada. I also had a bit of time off in September last year. Whereas this year, for 2020, with COVID, I've worked pretty consistently, apart from the odd week off here and there. I haven't taken any prolonged time off because we haven't been able to travel or really go anywhere, so I've just kind of been working. This is something I would like to change next year, if COVID allows it, maybe plan some bigger trips again. To be honest, not really. We're not making any plans yet, but who knows? Yeah, we'll have to wait and see there. So projects that I worked on, so where did my time actually go? Got a good screenshot here. So by far, the largest chunk of, or the biggest category really where I spent my time is on client work. I spent about 604 hours this year, which is about 33% of my time on client work. That's up from 495 hours, about 28% of my time in 2019. So what's interesting is that I spent about 110 additional hours doing client work this year. If you average that out, that's about 2 hours a week. But my overall working hours, as I mentioned before, haven't really increased. So I guess this means I spent less time on other things. And if I think about it, if I think about how I spent my time this year, I didn't have as many internal non-client projects as I had in the previous year. After releasing my new Master Asana and Master Pipedrive courses early this year, I've really just been focused on selling those courses and working with clients for the rest of the year. COVID sort of really made me prioritize just maintaining and working with clients as much as I can, which is where I earn most of my money, most of my income. And just internal projects have taken a bit more of a backseat. So the next category of work is what I categorize as sales. You know, I have to be selling to actually generate client work. So I spent about 231 hours. That's about 14% of my time selling. That's down actually from 256 hours in 2019. So what's that? About 25 hours less. So I spent about 14% of my time selling, you know, doing introductory calls with clients, following up with people, writing proposals, presenting proposals, that type of thing. So similar to 2019, down a little bit, but, you know, good because I suppose my income's grown this year. So I'm spending a similar amount of time selling, but my income has gone up, which is obviously a good thing. Next, we have email. I spent about 189 hours, about 10% of my time on email. That was up from 123 hours, about 7% in 2019. So a bit of an increase in time spent on email. And I think this jump was partly because my wife Haley is now studying. She was helping me with some email before. This year she has started studying, so I've taken on some of the responsibility that she had. So that kind of doesn't surprise me. Next, I spent 134 hours, about 7% of my time on content. Similar amount of hours, really, to 2019. For me, creating content is really valuable time. You know, like this podcast you're listening to, this is part of that 7%. So it includes, yeah, making videos, blog posts, podcasts, all the content that I put out. It's important time for me because it's how I generate a steady volume of inbound leads for my consulting services and products. I'm very fortunate that I don't have to do any real, I don't have to do any cold outreach going to find clients. Most of my clients come to me. And I think that's a result of putting out content to increase my discoverability. So those that 7% of my time, I think, is time very well spent. And then finally, final category here, again, about 7% of my time, 127 hours spent on planning. Actually down a little bit on last year. As a productivity geek, I'm constantly, you know, jumping into Asana and my calendar, planning my time and working out next steps on different projects. And the way I see it, like, the more you plan, the more effective you are at doing your work. So even though it's about 7% of my time, actually that seems, yeah, it feels like the right amount. Like, you should be spending, you know, probably between 5 to 10% of your time just getting clarity on what you're doing, how you should be using your time going forwards, and just planning. And that means that when you actually do the client work, when you do the work that matters, you've got a really good plan. So that was a breakdown of how I spent my time. Some of the websites I used most, because timing does give you a report on the websites you spend the most time on. So Asana was the big winner. I spent 222 hours on Asana in 2020, up a little bit from 209 hours in 2019. Pipedrive was 150 hours, almost the same as last year, and Zapier, 25 hours, exactly the same as last year. So I should start out by pointing out that Asana, Pipedrive, and Zapier, these numbers are misleading. You know, a lot of my time is spent using these tools in my own business, but because these are services that I actually consult on as well, I try and classify the time I'm working on clients. You know, if I'm in Asana, in timing, I can say, right, this is client work. But it's still showing me that I spent this many hours in Asana. So if you're hearing that going, wow, Paul spent 220 hours planning in Asana, that's not actually accurate because I'm actually consulting on this tool as well. My own website was the next kind of most frequently visited website. So I spent 71 hours kind of working on my website, updating pages, content, that type of thing, just maintaining my own website. And then ConvertKit as well. Spent about 54 hours using ConvertKit this year. I only started using ConvertKit about halfway through 2019, so it looks like I spent a lot more time on ConvertKit this year. Actually, it's just that you know, I didn't have a full year of stats. So yeah, you know, ConvertKit, very important tool for me. I've mentioned before that my email list is what I would describe as probably the most important asset in my business. You know, that list of customers and subscribers that I have. It's, you know, how I deliver and share my content and run promotions and kind of keep in touch with people. So ConvertKit, yeah, makes sense that I would be spending a lot of time in there. And so closing thoughts. So after going through this exercise again, I'm pretty happy with the results. I guess the thing that surprises me most this year is how close the numbers are comparing 2020 to 2019. So it kind of surprises me, but it also makes sense because I didn't change much this year about my routine or how I work. I feel like for the last few years I've had a pretty good routine, and I'm kind of like, well, if it's not broken, why fix it? Why try and change it? You know, I'm always trying to improve, but I think my routine and how I'm spending my time is working well, and I'm, yeah, obviously shown to be pretty consistent year to year. And because I've been tracking my time and I have a good awareness of how I spend my time each, you know, week and month and year, nothing here has surprised me. As for changes in 2021, I've been thinking lately about where to take my business next. Next week I'm going to be spending a bit more time setting some actual goals for next year and planning ahead. So I'm kind of not sure yet whether I continue doing what I'm doing, which is working well, or whether to try and grow a team around myself a little bit more and try and remove myself from some of the day-to-day client work. Recently, I started working with a friend of mine who's helping me with some client work and some Zapier work, and this has been great. And it's sort of really got me asking this question of whether I should be growing a little team around me a little bit. And so part of me thinks I should build on this. But I'm kind of not sure the best way to proceed. I don't really have an answer yet. Right now, it's something I'm continuing to mull over. With things like this, I like to make decisions, big decisions, very slowly. And so as this year comes to an end, I would highly encourage you to think back and look back at how you've spent your time this year. If you have a time tracking tool, that's great. Even just looking back at your calendar, or if you do any kind of journaling. Now, obviously, end of the year, is a great time to reflect and look back and ask yourself that question. You know, are you happy with how you spent your time? if not, you know, you this is a useful exercise because it forces you to evaluate and go, yeah, what could I have done differently? I didn't have this prepared in my blog post, but a few years ago I listened to a podcast by Tim Ferriss, and he kind of applied the 80-20 analysis to how he spends his time, which I thought was really interesting. So he sort of asked the question, what 20% of things, and I mentioned, I think I actually talked about this recently on the podcast, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but yeah, he asked sort of, what 20% of things do I spend time on that generate 80% of my happiness and positivity in my life? And same thing for, you know, what 20% of things are generating 80% of my stress or anxiety? And I think it's a really interesting way to try and work out what should you be doing more of or less of. So I would highly encourage you to spend some time in the next few weeks asking yourself some of these questions. If you have any feedback, if you have any questions for me, you can leave me a comment on the blog at paulmeiners.com/196. Yeah, downhill to the end of the year now. For me, I've got one more week left of real solid work. I'm kind of wrapping up on the 18th, and then I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks off. It's summer here in New Zealand, so take a few weeks off, enjoy the summer, enjoy the sunshine with the family, and I'm looking forward to that. Okay, one more time. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. As always, really appreciate your attention, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show, and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is, if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulmeiners.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there, and I have to say I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulmeiners.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.